Well, good morning. How's everyone this morning? Good. After this first service, I had some people come by and speak with me, and they said, "You know, Pastor, you know, Pastor, that's when you're fasting and pastoring at the same time. You become a faster pastor." So they said to me, I kind of feel like I failed. I prayed, and I believe the Lord told me to fast for 7 days, and I got into like a 3-day fast, and I just didn't go any further. And it's just kind of like, I think that's what the enemy does. Remember, there's no guilt nor condemnation through Christ Jesus. And the enemy wants to pile up, you're a failure. You know what? When it means something to you, it means something to the Lord. And when you take that step, especially for every single person who's never fasted before, and you even fasted for 1 day, you know what? Bless you. I'm so proud of you. And I just want to encourage you this morning. Amen? Amen. So I want to talk up with a story this morning. I remember when I bought a new home. It was our first new home. We had a town home before that, but our first sort of a home that was off by itself. And we were the first people in the neighborhood. And as neighbors started to appear all around us and this kind of a thing, it got to the point where I had a knock on my door one day, and one of my neighbors said, "It's time to put up a fence. I have a dog, and I want to keep the dog in, and I'm wondering if you'll do half." And, of course, that's my responsibility. So he said, "Yes, I'll do half." And I noticed at the mailboxes they had a poster there, and that poster said, "Post holes dug, $10 a hole." And they had a bobcat. They'd come in and just sort of – they went around the neighborhood, and I've seen them go in a few times. And I said, "Yeah, I actually noticed this sign the other day over on our mailbox there." And he goes, "Yeah, but I want to save money. I've got my dad coming in, and he's going to help me with the fence, and I'd love your help too." And I'm just like, "You have no idea who I am." "All right." And he goes, "But maybe before my dad comes, you and I could dig the post holes." I'm like, "Okay, so what do you want to do?" He goes, "Well, I'll just go down to the rental place, and I'll pick up a post hole digger." I'm like, "I've never even heard of that before." So, all right. So he shows up with this big blue corkscrew thing, and it's like a manual. You kind of put it in the ground, and you turn it. But the ground was so packed down and so rocky that we tried and tried and pushed, and I gave him a shot. And you know what? We really couldn't even really pierce the first layer of the ground. And it was just like, man, this is hard. He goes, "I'm going to go back to the store. I'm going to return this one, and I'm going to get a gas-powered one." I'm like, "Why didn't you pick up the gas-powered one the first time?" So he comes back with this machine, and it's a one-person post-hole auger. How many people have used that machine before? You know what I'm talking about. Okay, so it's a machine that is about yay big, and it has like a big drill in the middle, and it's got a gas motor on it, and you hold this like this, and you turn it, and as you turn it, you kind of bear down on it, and it starts to drill your hole, and it kind of goes down like that. But the problem was, again, it was so rocky and it was so hard that as you would push down, and I'm pushing down on it, and he's leaning on it, trying to get some more weight on there, and the two of us are pushing down, and we're holding this thing together. But as soon as it hits a rock, it does this. And it's like, oh! Most of you have experienced that. You know, it's just like, so you just try again, you just go down. And then I had one more, like, we started this one pole, and we couldn't get it, so we tried another hole, see if it was a little softer, and it was right beside the house, the pole that goes right beside the house. And I took it, and all of a sudden, it flung me around, and when it flung me around, my knuckles hit the wall of the house, and I'm bleeding knuckles, and I look at the guy, he goes, let's get the bobcat to do it. I'm like, yes, let's get the bobcat to do it. Well, that bobcat came in and made small work of this. It just kind of went, bzzzt, 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 bzzzt. You know, it was like a knife going through hot butter. I'm like, wow, that's amazing. That post hole digger, I'm going to kind of park that story for a minute. We're going to get back to that in a minute. But it is so much easier when there's power behind it. See, the title of my message this morning is Strengthen the Journey. You know what? Some of us are fasting this week. Some of us are fasting right at this moment. And it's just kind of like, Lord, I feel weak sometimes. I got to go to work, God, but I feel weak. And I believe the Lord wants to give us supernatural strength. Do you remember when your kids, now some of you are in this stage of life right now where your kids are really young, but some of you, that's days gone past, but do you remember when your kids were really young? Some of the fun things that they did as a family? You know, I remember when Lucas would come home, I would come home from work and Lucas would be there, and he was probably about 5 years old. And he would come to the door, and he would hear me open up the door, and he would run up to me, and he'd go, "Dad, wrestle!" And he would just jump and attack me. And him and I would go at it, and I'd pick him up, and I'd body slam him down, and I'd start to tickle him, and I'd put him in some kind of a leg press lock, scissor lock, and he would just sort of struggle, and then he would get out of my trap, and he would jump up on my back, and when he'd jump up on my back, he'd always grab my head and shove my head in the carpet and start rubbing my head in the carpet. And that was his thing. He loved that. Now, you may be thinking, Lance, really? How can a five-year-old kid, first of all, get out of your trap, and second of all, rub your face in the carpet? Well, I let him, right? As a dad, I want my son to develop confidence, strength, and the ability not to panic in difficult situations. I truly pray that Lucas will far surpass me in the spiritual realms as well as physical. Jesus reveals the heart of our Father when he says, "The works that I do, you will also do. And greater works than these you will do, because I go to my Father in heaven." John 14:12. Have you ever wondered what that message means? I'm going to do greater works than Jesus? Like seriously, Jesus, he raised people from the dead. Remember Lazarus? He spat on mud and stuck it on people's eyes, and they saw, "Lord, I pray for someone who's got a headache and nothing happens. But God, your word says that. Lord, where's the power?" This really is encouragement, the heavenly vision, the timely word of the Lord for our generation. If we are approaching the end times and the coming of the Lord, then this word must be fulfilled quickly. If Jesus is indeed coming soon, which I believe many of us would feel and sense in our spirit that he is, this divine promise must be fulfilled first. We will see greater works. I remember I went to the hospital one time to do a visitation, and after I was finished, I went down to the basement to the cafeteria of the hospital to meet a pastor friend of mine. This pastor friend of mine said this to me. He says, "You know, Lance," he goes, "can I just be honest with you?" He says, "My sister's son, eldest son, is in the hospital. My sister's son is an amazing hockey player. He just got drafted by the AHL, and he is looking at going to the NHL, Lord willing." He says, "His younger brother is just as good as him, if not better. He, at such a young age, is already in AAA, playing AAA hockey and doing really well. His sister is a gymnast, and she is doing fantastic things. And again, the Olympics is not out of the question for this girl. But their mother is in this hospital right now on the fourth floor with MS. He then went on to say, he says, "You know what, Lance? Where's the power that our great-grandfathers and our great-great-grandfathers spoke about? I believe it's for today. Yet again, when we pray for someone for a headache, nothing changes." Have you ever felt like that? I know I have. I've read your word, Lord. I believe that signs and wonders are for today. In fact, if you look at that back wall, we as a corporate body are believing for an increase in signs and wonders by partnering with Holy Spirit. We want to be a people who know the Lord. We want a people who walk in the power of God. It's like that post hole digger. It's sometimes it's just like we walk on a walk and we try that manual post hole digger when we know the Lord is the proverbial powerful bobcat that can just go boom and it's done. Jesus is our model, and we have been commissioned to do the same works and even exceed them. But before we can even consider going there, we need to first know who we are, rooted in covenant in Jesus Christ. Who are we? 1 Peter 1:2-9 says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into the marvelous light." Once we understand that we have a calling, a purpose, then we understand that there truly are no spectators in the kingdom of God. We have not been called to be pew fillers. We've been called to be active and engaged in the present work of God. We are all leaders in the body of Christ. God has given us dreams, plans, visions for our own families, for our own life personally. We are the children of God. I'd like to read this email that came in from a friend who is a president of a Christian college in Washington and works with Focus on the Family. His name is Dr. Wade Goodall. In his letter, he's talking about leaders. Now, remind your neighbor before I read this letter that I just said about 10 seconds ago that every single one of us is in this room are leaders, because that's important for us to understand. As I'm taking a global look at workers and working with churches, pastors, men, women, couples, etc., I have sensed a few things that I have been praying about concerning a deeper understanding and possible focus. We live in a day where the latter rain could begin at any time. There's no question the gospel is being presented globally at an unprecedented rate. The scripture speaks of a latter day Holy Spirit revival unlike any other preceding the coming of the Lord. The terminal generation, if we are in the latter time, and I believe most evangelical charismatic leaders would agree that we are, then there are unique challenges and wonderful God-ordained events, experiences, and anointing that will be part of this unique time. The sifted saint, the leaders of today are being sifted by the enemy in historic proportions. Their marriages, emotional, physical, financial, and family children are being attacked in ways that are unique. Obviously, the church and its leadership is a threat to the enemy to be sifted. Peter's example of being sifted means a shake until a person falls apart emotionally, mentally, and mentally thinking and confusion. Priorities focus on the basics. The leader and the Christian believer must dedicate time to sit, wait, pray, meditate, and be in the presence of the Lord. It is literally hazardous if a leader is too busy to block out time for fasting, prayer, and meditation. Marriages are under attack for the leader. Focus time on marriage and family. Personal attacks, criticism, and conflict is overwhelming for the leader, and they need a personal word from the Lord. The courage, boldness is being threatened, and many leaders are afraid to speak truth in love. Encouragement is desperately needed. The economy, threats to peace, uncertainty of times, and a sense of having no clear direction has caused many to just exist. The church and leaders desperately need encouragement that we have had the greatest message and are part of the greatest kingdom. As a result from these thoughts and many others, the U.S. is currently experiencing 1,500 to 1,800 pastoral resignations a month, according to H.B. London and James Dobson. The ministry is overwhelming to many, and record numbers are walking away thoroughly beaten and confused. I'm seeing this happen in other nations as well, for I'm just returning from Australia, Asia, and the same things are happening in these places. This is an incredible hope for this day. There might not be any day like it. The leaders and Christians need to understand the uniqueness of the hour and know that they have been created for such a time as this. Some of my thoughts, Wade. Do you feel like you're being sifted? Do you feel like you're just, life is being pulled and it's just kind of like, God, what is happening right now? Press into the presence of God. Find your hope. Find your strength in Him. We're living in challenging times, yes, but they're exciting times. God is calling us to intimacy. God is calling us to know Him well. That's why we've developed RISE, a step-by-step up the mountain path to walk in a relationship with God the Father. We know that God wants us to talk, minister, love, lavish on each one of us. We've called to encourage one another, pray for one another, develop atmospheres of blessing in our home, in our work, and wherever we go. This is so important because of the challenges that we are either currently facing or we will be facing in the future. Jesus models such a vital key for us in intimacy, and we can read about that in Luke chapter 4. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returns from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days he ate nothing. And afterwards, when he ended, he was hungry. Now, it's important here to notice that there's a few keys in this little portion here. Number one, Jesus was full of Holy Spirit before he was driven by the Spirit into the wilderness. Secondly, we just read that he fasted for 40 days. And finally, he concludes his wilderness season in a confrontation with the devil that is recorded in Luke chapter 4 and elsewhere in Scripture. Now, most of us in this room are filled with Holy Spirit, yet we're not stepping into the power of the Spirit. If Jesus is our model, then we need to follow his example. I see three lessons throughout Luke chapter 4 here that Jesus modeled for us to step into the power of the Holy Spirit. Number one is Jesus spent time in the wilderness. He was tempted for 40 days. Man, I don't know about you, but sometimes I hate the wilderness. You know, we go there and it's just like, oh, Lord, why me? Lord, Jacob's free. Get him. You know? Lord, I think you've sifted me enough, God. It's Jacob's turn. Or, Lord, this is awful. And we just start to moan and groan and complain. Do we forget who the Lord is? Do we forget that we've been bought with a price? Do we forget that greater is he that is in us than he that is in this world? Do we forget that even what the enemy is meant for evil, that God is going to use for our good? God leads us into this time of wilderness for preparation for what is coming in the future. But yet so often, we get so upset and we complain. James 1:2 says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. You see, the trial period that Jesus faced was paramount for who he became. Remember that Jesus was fully God, yet he was also fully man. In the first temptation, the devil questioned the Lord's identity as the Son of God and tempted him to use his power for selfish purposes by turning stones into bread. Jesus was fasting. He was hungry. Fresh bread? Oh, that sounded like a good idea. You ever go to the Olive Garden and get those bread sticks? Oh, Lord. Oh, those bread sticks, Lord. That's why I try to let us beat the Baptist there so we can get the fresh ones, you know? We want those bread sticks. They're good. Jesus, all you got to do is take these stones and turn them to bread. You're hungry. Come on. What the Lord did through that is he prepared him for a challenge later on in life. Well, on the cross, he had an opportunity to prove who he was. An act that would have aborted his mission. You call yourself Jesus? If you really are the Christ, come off the cross. If you really are the Christ, you know what? Maybe Elijah's going to come down. Maybe something's going to happen here. Well, let me see what's going to go take place. Jesus, you don't want to suffer this thing. Just come on off. The devil also then tempted him to grasp the authority and the glory of all the kingdoms of the earth and take the devilish shortcut to the top if he'd only worship the devil. Remember later on, he was tempted by the crowds to seize his throne and become Israel's political savior? You know, I really think that that's why Judas betrayed him. Because he didn't do what Judas thought he was here to do. You were here to deliver us from the Romans. Shouldn't our life be better than it is right now? Like, you're the Savior. You're the Messiah. You're the Deliverer. Why don't you do it my way? Why don't you? We'll get you in power. We'll get you prestige. But yet his work was so much more important. For what happened on the cross brought salvation to every one of us in this room. Finally, in the wilderness, the devil again questioned the Lord's identity and used scripture out of context to entice him to throw his life down and trust angels to save him, again for the self-serving purpose of proving something. Once again, on the cross, what happened? The Lord was mocked. He was spat upon. He was whipped. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was hung on a tree. Would have been a lot less stress to call forth a legion of angels and deliver him. But yet he withstood it for me. Lord, that's intense. The love that you have. Are you wanting the power? The ability to stand against demonic forces when you're led into the wilderness season? Stop complaining. But understand that God has you in the palm of his hand. We may not understand, even in this world, we may not understand everything that takes place. But you know what? If you liken the time that we have on the earth, there's some pretty remarkably aged people in this church, people who are close to 100 years old. That's amazing to me. I never, honestly, when I was in Canada, I never knew anybody who was close to 100. Here I've met like three people. It's like, wow. Bless them. Pray for me. But yet, even at that, that 100 years compared to eternity is just a drop in a bucket. Sometimes we receive our answer on the other side. God, you are my strength. You are my... Oh, how do I know that? Man, read the Hebrews Hall of Faith. What, Hebrews chapter 12? 11, thank you. Hebrews chapter 11. Read Hebrews chapter 11. Man, it is so filled of things that didn't look the way... Samson is in there. But yet the Lord's like, this is my son, Samson. What a champion. Anyways, I digress. God, you are my strength. God, you are my portion. God, you are my shelter. Number two, Jesus teaches us in Luke 4:2 that he fasted. And in those days he ate nothing, and afterwards when he ended, he was hungry. Now, last week I shared from Matthew chapter 6, and Matthew chapter 6 is the believer's chapter. It shows that when you give, when you pray, when you fast, that is the role and the responsibility of every single believer. Now, I truly believe that something has twisted in North America where food has become a god. We have so much. Just think about it for a minute. There are so many countries that have nothing, yet we have a television network that is dedicated to food. The Food Channel. Right? And it's been going for years. Why? Because people watch it. It's popular. Man, I love the Food Network. You know, there's a show on there that is so cool. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but it's called Man vs. Food. Have you ever seen that? Man vs. Food is a show, and I don't know if it's on anymore. It was years ago. But it was a show where this guy goes throughout America to do food challenges. So you ever see a restaurant that says, you know what, if you can eat this 98-ounce steak and a baked potato and a salad and gravy and all this kind of stuff, if you can eat that all within 1 hour, your meal's free and you'll get to go up on the wall of fame. I ate 12 pounds of food, and I did it, you know? And there are these challenges, and he would prepare himself, and he'd go all over, and sometimes at the end, he would always go, psh, man won. Or at the end, he would go, psh, food won. It was a whole show dedicated to gluttony. Let's see how much I can eat as quick as I can eat, and people stream to be able to watch this. When we fast, we tell King Stomach that, you know what, you are not important. For this period of time, you're going to get absolutely no attention, and Jesus is going to get it all. Fasting prepared the Lord in such an awesome way. In fact, we read after his fast in Luke 4:31, he went down to Capernaum, a town in Galilee, and on the Sabbath, he taught the people. They were amazed at his teaching because his words had authority. When all of a sudden you fast, you step into authority. Something changed in his ministry where they wrote it in the word of God that he preached, and it just stirred up people's hearts in such an intense way. What about when Peter preached and 3,000 people came to the Lord? Something changed when he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Do you remember the disciples? They ran into problems. They went and they said, remember they said, hey, we came across this demon-possessed man, this demon-possessed boy, and we couldn't cast out this demon. Why is that? And Jesus says, oh, you guys, this one comes out through prayer and fasting. It is so important that we prepare ourselves, because we know that earlier on that John's disciples were saying, Jesus, why don't your disciples fast? And then they run into this problem. They don't have the power to be able to do anything about it. Step into that season of prayer, fasting. Target authority as one of your top three things that you're fasting for. Lord, would you prepare me for what is coming this year? Would you prepare me that if all of a sudden I have an opportunity to come face to face with a demonic possessed person, that I would have the authority to cast that out? God, I want to know you. And the last thing I see is Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. Luke 4:14 goes on to say, then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went throughout all the surrounding region. Look carefully at the difference between verse 1 and verse 14. Before the temptation in the wilderness, the Bible says that Jesus was filled with the Spirit, which is a great thing. But now look at verse 14. At the end of the wilderness temptation, after 40 days of fasting, then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went throughout all surrounding regions. Jesus had totally defeated Satan and come out of that experience in the power of the Spirit. He was led of the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tested. And as he obeyed under the unction of the Holy Spirit, he then became empowered to pull down satanic strongholds. So there's a clear difference here between being filled with the Spirit and operating in the power of the Spirit. Something transformed Jesus from being a Spirit-filled man into a man who is walking in the power of the Spirit. His example in fasting provides insights for us into dealing with obstacles of both flesh and spirit. We need to make the secret power of Jesus our secret power. Many of us in this room function at the level of being filled with the Holy Spirit. And I firmly believe that infilling of the Holy Spirit is wonderful, but it's only the first stage of the progression beyond salvation. We need to go on. We need to move beyond the infilling step and step into the power step. Jesus Christ showed us the way by personally modeling this for us. Being filled with the Spirit does not make you ready to move in the fullness of your calling and the power. We need to submit to the discipline of Holy Spirit. And during that time frame, God will disciple us in the crucial work of prayer, fasting, and really overcoming challenges in the wilderness. Lord, I want to know your heart. Lord, I want to know who you are. Then we will go forth in the power of the Spirit and step into the will of God. My friends, I thought this morning that we would close off the service a little bit different. I asked Patrick and the team to come and lead us in a song of victory this morning. Because the place, the work has already been done. But now, I just believe we need to stand before the Lord and just say, God, where are you taking me, Lord? Lord, how are you desiring for me? Maybe you're in that place of wilderness right now. You're just like, Lord, would you just give me strength to endure? Would you help me to keep my eyes focused on you? Maybe you're in that place of fasting. It's just like, oh man, I just want to give up. I just want to quit. That comes up. You know, I shared in prayer summit, if you were there, I shared a story about a lady who was fasting, and when she was fasting, she was doing the Daniel fast where she's only eating fruits and vegetables and whole grains. And her couple of girlfriends went out to a Chinese food restaurant. When they went to this Chinese food restaurant, they ordered their vegetarian stuff, and the chef come out and greeted the table and said, I made you a special dish of Szechuan beef just to say thank you for being a good customer. And they're like, seriously? The chef has never done that before or after. And it's just like, Lord, do we break the fast because we want to be polite? I love how Kathy Gregoire, I don't know if you saw that, but she sent a text out, and I think she posted on Facebook too. And she's like, she sent me a personal text. She said, Pastor, I dedicated the next few days to fasting, and guess what? It's Law Enforcement Appreciation Day, and I went in today, and there's donuts everywhere. There's pizza everywhere. And she went on, she goes, Pastor, you don't understand. I love donuts. I love them. And she said, I had to run out of there. And just kind of like, I'm not seeing this. I'm not seeing this. Those opportunities are going to come forward. The enemy is going to want you to just say, you know what? I did it. That's enough. But I believe if we follow the leading of Holy Spirit and we say, God, what are you calling me to? And Lord, how do I fulfill that calling in my life? And when those opportunities come, we say, Lord, no. I am going to keep the course. I'm going to fight the fight. And I'm going to be strengthened in the journey. Amen? Let's stand and worship the Lord. There's going to be a prayer team up here to pray for you if you'd like prayer for anything. But again, our hearts this morning is to worship God and just to step in that place of victory.